You're with Stateside. I'm April Baer. 160 years ago this month, the fever of war gripped Michigan. What most thought would be a quick war between the North and the South was anything but. 4 years later, nearly 15,000 Michiganders had died in the effort to restore the Union and end slavery. Today, we're going to focus on one Michigan volunteer, Felix Balderi, who came to the Great Lakes from the other side of the world, the Philippines. Joining us now with the details of Felix Balderi's amazing journey is State Archivist for the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. Hi, Mark. Welcome back.
Hi, April. Thanks.
Hey, can we set the stage a little bit? The 19th century was a pretty consequential period for the Philippines and its relationship to what we refer to as the Western powers. What was going on in Felix Balderi's part of the world around 1860? It seems like this was just a crazy period for global trade.
It really is. It's fascinating because we think of the Philippines in American history when we engage with them right at the turn of the 19th and 20th century. But America became this burgeoning whaling power going back all the way to the 1790s and really built that up in the first part of the 19th century. And so we're over in the South Pacific having interactions, and so are a lot of other powers, Russia and the Dutch. Everybody's over there. And you can look at these time-lapse maps of trade routes, and it's just this well-worn path all over that area. And Japan was doing their best to be isolationist, and as early as the 1840s and 50s, America and Russia were sort of putting the elbow to them. And the Philippines seems like they always get caught in the middle because of their strategic position.
And so, on the way to everywhere.
It really is. And it's still strategic today. You know, it's right near Taiwan. It's the contested channel that everyone is trying to keep control of.
Right. It was before the Philippine Revolution, but suffice to say, there was just a lot going on in the Philippines. What do we know then about Felix Balderi's early life?
We don't know a lot other than he grew up on this small northern island of Bataan. And at about age 16, as these U.S. whaling ships would come into harbor, and as they had been for 50 plus years, that just always strikes me that, you know, you think of late 1850s, how could we get ships from Nantucket, Massachusetts, all the way to Bataan Island, Philippines, but we'd been doing it for a long time. And I guess he decided he wanted to change a pace and stowed away on the whaling ship, the Milton. And that really starts the beginning of his adventure.
As you say, the whaling business was one way to travel halfway around the world in the 1800s. Do you have much of a sense of whether that was common, whether people would just sort of disappear themselves onto ships and find themselves in a completely new universe?
We don't have a lot of evidence of that in this particular story, other than we can look at the facts. Here is a 16-year-old boy on a remote island. So his story could be replicated pretty much anywhere in the world, right? 16-year-old, restless kid, small town, nothing going on, wants to get out and see the world. Oh, here's a whaling ship on my doorstep. It seemed like the ripe opportunity, even though I'm sure he had no idea what he was getting into.
After Felix got to the East Coast via whaling ship, how did he come to make Michigan his home?
So when he was on the ship, he was a stowaway, and he was befriended by the first mate, a guy named Joseph Foster. And they made it back eventually around 1860, made it back to Massachusetts. Foster lived in Southampton, New York. And the year after they returned to the U.S., Foster moved his family to Leonidas, Michigan. Again, we don't know exactly why, but this is the time when a lot of people are migrating from New York because land is cheap. And at least in some parts of Michigan, the soil is pretty good. And I would say the soil in that part of the state is pretty good, still is. And so they moved to Michigan in the early 1860s to set up shop as farmers. And he just went along with them and served as a farmhand.
And for those who aren't exactly sure where Leonidas, or what we would say today, Leonidas Township, can be found, this is just a little bit south of Battle Creek, right?
Yeah, I would say maybe more slightly southeast. If you look at a map of Kalamazoo and just sort of draw a very slight line southeast, it's along M60, which if you ever get a chance to go for a drive in the country, drive down M60. It's a great drive.
Mark, whaling ships were very often a mix of people from a lot of different backgrounds. To some extent, we can say that about the old Northwest, what we now call Michigan. What do we know about how Felix's Caucasian neighbors reacted to him, whether he was accepted as part of the community when he arrived?
I have to think he was. As surprising as that might seem in our current climate, here is a very slight, 16 to 18-year-old kid from the South Pacific that just shows up in rural Michigan in the 1860s. And I make that assumption because in 1863, he joined with all his community members in the local infantry unit to serve in the Civil War. I don't think you can do that if you're an outcast.
Right. What was Felix Baldery's military career like?
Well, he signed up with the 11th Michigan Infantry, which Civil War units were really comprised of communities. So you would go into a unit with the people you lived with. And a lot of times in the Civil War, that was friends and family. And the 11th Infantry served in the Atlanta Campaign. So he basically shipped out and went into the fairly deep South right away, down into Georgia, and was part of that Atlanta campaign, and really saw a lot of action, a lot of marching, and as was the case with a lot of Civil War soldiers, had a rough time, not as much in the battles, but in the environment and battling sickness and disease.
Well, we know that illness took a lot of soldiers during the Civil War. What kind of illnesses was he dealing with?
Yeah, when you read his pension file, the medical portions of it, I mean, they're not really medical records, but they mention his ailments. And I don't know if it's sad or ironic or both that what afflicted this person from the South Pacific was sort of the marshy, humid conditions. And I think what really exacerbated it was those big changes in swings in temperature and weather mixed with the moisture. Because he just developed some respiratory issues that plagued him for the rest of his life.
Do we know what it was? Was it tuberculosis malaria?
He was finally diagnosed with tuberculosis, and that was listed as his cause of death much later in life.
A man comes halfway around the planet from the Philippines and ends up with what we think of as a tropical disease.
Right. I guess that's what keeps sticking in my mind is he makes his journey. I mean, there wasn't a Panama Canal. He'd go all the way down around the southern tip of South America, all the way from the Philippines, comes to New York, goes to Michigan, serves in the Civil War, down into Georgia, and then is cast the lot of contracting tuberculosis. It's quite incredible.
For some people, military service is what makes them and changes their lives in positive ways. But Felix Baldery was part of a generation of people whose lives were really shattered by the Civil War. What sense do you have of how the war years set the course for the rest of his life?
He returned a broken man. In fact, one of the lieutenants from his unit, which would have been a person from his community, described him as an ideal soldier going in. Strong, loyal, really reliable soldier, and afterwards described him as a broken down man. That's a direct quote from his pension application. He was described as a broken down man. And I think, again, not to just make superficial connections to our current situation, but I think people can relate to the idea of someone suffering from this respiratory illness for the rest of his life.
There were certain long-haul effects of the diseases that he had.
Yeah, he suffered some partial paralysis in his left arm, which, if you're a farmhand, that's not going to work. And he was unable to perform that essential task that he had for his mentor and, I don't want to call him patron, but basically his connection, Joseph Foster. He wasn't able to do that manual labor, and so he opened a tailor shop on the edge of Foster's property in Leonidas and did that for a time, and then actually found employment as a tailor in the town of Cologne and lived out the rest of his life in that area. But going back to your question about how he was received in the community, I think it's really interesting that, the Grand Army of the Republic was the veterans organization. He was a member of the local post there and attended the Methodist Episcopal Church there. So he was a bona fide part of the community.
Did he ever marry?
He did later in life. He was in his early 40s. He married a 16-year-old named Ada May Barnes, and they had one son from that marriage named Frank.
Does the historical record give us any indications of how he felt about his military service or his life in Michigan?
Unfortunately, it doesn't really speak to that, and we don't have, as we do with other Civil War veterans, letters or diaries where they really expound on what they think about the war and their service and how it's affected their life back in their community. We don't have that for him. We just have this literal portrait, a couple different portraits of Felix, and then we have the portrait we've pieced together from his pension record, from the ship's log of the Milton, and just some background history that we looked at from whaling in the South Pacific. So I wish we had a firsthand account. I like to think that he felt he was doing his duty for his adopted country, that he was treated right, and that spurred him on to service. I don't know that we can ever truly know, but I think that given his track record with how he conducted his post-war life and remained part of the community that he came to, I think it's very possible.
How did you find out about Felix Baldery?
Well, so in the archives, sometimes when you're looking for one thing, you find another. That happens a lot. And I actually encourage staff to always keep an eye out for those sorts of things. And I was aware that we had a couple different photographs of him, but we went to do our biannual magazine and we did it on the Civil War. And we really were looking at articles of basically Michigan's diverse contribution to the Civil War, whether it was the Company K, which was mostly Native Americans, or the 1st Michigan Colored Infantry, basically people that were signing up that maybe weren't really represented in the first place. And we stumbled across this image, and I really have to give credit to our archivist, Leslie Edwards, because when she gets a colonel like this, she just cannot let it go. And so she stumbled across the image, told me about it, and I said, yeah, I'm aware of that. But then she took it from there and found his pension application and contacted the Whaling Museum on the East Coast and found the ship's log and just went from one resource to another. So it was a really great piece of research on her part.
Do we know if Felix has any descendants in Michigan today? You mentioned that he and his wife had one son.
Yeah, we tried to trace that and lost the trail in the early 20th century. They had the one son, Frank. But I'm sure there's probably genealogists or family historians out there right now that are looking it up as we speak and will email me with other results.
Mark Harvey is state archivist at the Michigan History Center. Mark, thank you so much for sharing Felix's story with us.
Thank you.